I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show here again. A reminder for Amigo Energy, they are over 10 years experience serving Houston electricity customers. Supported Houston soccer since 2007. I'm going to pull out one of my old, I got one of the jerseys from the Amigo Energy years with their logo on the front, which was awesome. Remember when the fans, the lights went out against L.A.? The fans were chanting Amigo Energy? It was awesome. If you're a small business, don't call around for rates. Shop online. See Amigo Energy's competitive rates and sign up online anytime. You can do that by going to www.amigoenergy.com. And again, our sponsors are amazing ones. All right. In studio right now, after captaining El Salvador in the Gold Cup, called La Selecta, he's Arturo Alvarez. He's a local product here from Houston. You saw him here at BBVA Compass Stadium against Costa Rica. You saw him throughout the tournament leading the team. Arturo, thank you very much for coming in the studio.
No, thank you, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Great surprise when I found out you were in town, so I'm happy you're here.
Yeah, so am I.
So let's talk about El Salvador, because I called all of your games throughout this Gold Cup. Hands down, you guys took care of the football exceptional. The one game I'll take you to is Jamaica. You totally outplayed them. You had a moment where you lost your minds a little bit, conceded the goal. You just didn't seem to have the killer instinct as a team. But, boy, your possession and the movement of the ball and the fluidity with which it moved was really kind of typical Salvadorian soccer.
Yeah, no, I think it was it was a good Gold Cup for a young group of guys. You know, I think for a lot of the team was a first world, Gold Cup. You know, and I think we showed well. I think we played good soccer throughout the whole group play. And like you said, against Jamaica, I think we were obviously the better team. And in soccer, it happens. We kind of had to push for it and go for it, make sure that, you know, we could use the 3 points from that game. And unfortunately, you know, Jamaica got a good goal off of a counterattack soccer, which, you know, as a Jamaican team, I think, you know, they're good at that. So it just, you know, it was a bit heartbreaking, you know, going out of the Gold Cup like that. But like you said, you know, soccer, you have to score goals to make sure you go through. So
you mentioned young players and you were captaining this team. You know, it's hard for me to think that you're 29 or 30 years of age, but you're captaining this team of young players. So look, this is a good tournament. This was, even though you guys, you know, obviously got knocked out at a point in this tournament, this was positive for you guys, I thought, from what I saw. So what's the next step for El Salvador? I mean, will they invest more in this team? I mean, what's the hope and possibility for these young guys? Because, you know, the passion that the fans showed down here in Houston for you and the support and the love that you guys get, how do you now parlay this into being a bigger fish in the CONCACAF? And kind of going back to the days like you and I talked about, Mauricio Cienfuegos and Raul Diaz Arce.
Yeah, no, we have to, you know, first of all, I think the crowd, the fans that we get at the stadiums is, you know, it's incredible. I think every game that I've played for El Salvador, I think we always had the most fans there. I think we just have to keep, you know, keep building on the soccer that we showed in the Gold Cup. We have the third round of the World Cup qualifiers coming up. you know, we just have to make sure that, that we keep advancing in that. We have Curaçao. That's who we drew in the so we're playing the Curaçao. It's an island who I think Patrick Kluivert is a coach. And so, you know, we just beat St. Kitts, which was not an easy a rival. We actually we tied 2-2 there, and then we won in San Salvador 4-1. But you know, these Caribbean teams are coming up, and so we just have to make sure that we are focused, that we, you know, we keep having confidence with, you know, in ourselves, which is something that I think this Salvadorian team was missing, and I think we found it in the Gold Cup.
A renewed confidence.
Yeah.
Albert Rocha, your manager, did he help you find that confidence?
I think he did. I think he did. He had a lot to do with that. You know, he's a Spanish coach. He worked at FC Barcelona for some time under Rijkaard. So, you know, he brought that that possession game to us. You know, we had that mentality that, you know, we have to make sure that we keep the ball, especially since we're not a big physical team. So obviously, whenever you play teams like, you know, Canada or Jamaica or even the U.S., you know, we were not going to try to get into a physical game. So we had to make sure that we keep the ball.
Well, isn't that that what negates the physicality against you? I mean, you guys have to have a good night on the ball against teams that you would consider more physical than you. I know we talked about that a lot on the broadcast, and you seem to do that every game.
Yeah, no, exactly. We were making sure that we did that. We had good. Good movement off the ball, so we can find each other and make sure we got up the field. And I think you know, we did that. We were kind of missing that final touch in front of goal. But I think with more games that we play, I think we're gonna have a good team. Hopefully, we can keep going and keep growing as a team together. And unfortunately, the coach has left. He won't be coaching us anymore. So
what happened there with Albert Rocha? That's too bad, because I thought, you know, he's got to get a lot of credit for this Gold Cup.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was something really unexpected. To be honest with you, I personally don't know exactly what the reasons why. All I know is that from what I've read is it's personal reasons. So, you know, it's going to be tough to replace him. But I think we just have to make sure that, you know, we kind of have to keep the same mentality that we've had, you know, the last year and 3 months.
He seemed very professional to me. You know, obviously with his background, I mean, he followed Rijkaard everywhere. I mean,
yeah,
Turkey,
did.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
This was a man who knew football. What type of leader, what type of manager was he?
He was definitely, you know, I think he was a player's coach. I think everyone liked him. Everyone got along with him. And you know, the most important thing was that he believed in every single player that he had in that group. So I think he showed that well. And you know, I think when you have that in players, that they're gonna perform on the field.
He's gonna suffer because you guys couldn't produce the end product, right? I mean, that in the end is the difference here, because the football you played was solid. It was good. You outplayed teams. You had more of the possession. You had the better chances. You couldn't put the dagger in. And that's why when I'm looking at an article here that says Albert Rocha sacked, it says he was sacked because of a poor performance at the Gold Cup. When I look at it and I say, I think this is actually a step up for El Salvador, it's a good basis and a platform. But then when I hear that Albert Rocha has left, it kind of makes me sad because he can't continue his work on the project.
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that has always affected Salvadorian soccer. You know, it's always, you know, there's a coach that comes in, and it's, you know, it's a process. You know, it's a long process, especially with the national teams, because, you know, you don't get together as often. You know, you only play games, FIFA dates and stuff like that. So, you know, we were working with him well for a year and 3 months. And next thing you know, just that process comes to an end. And now we kind of have to adapt to a new way of thinking of whoever takes over. So it's, you know, it's difficult. But I think, you know, it's part of soccer. It's part of being a professional athlete. And we just have to kind of, you know, deal with it and move on and make sure that we do things well.
He's Arturo Alvarez. He's in studio here tonight. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. This interview with Arturo Alvarez brought to you by 7-Up. You know, I look at the professional domestic league in El Salvador and I say to myself, until that can get strengthened, gosh, in some ways it's deflating, because if you could get that to be strengthened, you could get some continuity, you could get more investment in the game. You've got talented soccer players from an amazing soccer culture.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to be quite honest, you know, I have 30-something caps for El Salvador, and I think that game here in Houston was one of the loudest games. You know, obviously, we were playing Costa Rica. It was always a big rivalry within Central American teams. But, you know, it was, you know, scoring that goal in the last minute, and it was just, I mean, the fans, the way they live soccer, the way they, you know, they support, you know, even, you know, in good and bad times. It's just, you know, it's amazing. It's just obviously, you know, the infrastructure of the league and everything, the organization of the league, it's not the best, but the talent's there.
You mentioned the fans, and that was an amazing night, because they called that game, and even through a monitor in a studio in L.A., you could sense the passion and the excitement. I was wishing I was there physically calling it. But they're a great fan base, because there's so much nationalism in it. And let's be fair, you don't win all the time, and they're still right behind you.
Like I told you, I say it all the time. Amazing. I think we have one of the best fan bases in the world, you know, because, you know, obviously it's, you know, Salvadorian soccer has gone through a lot, you know. More problems than anything, and they're still there, and they're always supporting, and that just kind of gives you a little bit of extra motivation to go out there and do well for them, you know. So that's what we did in the Gold Cup, you know. I think there was a lot of doubt in our national team for the Gold Cup, and I think everyone, all the fans, at least from the fans' perspective, they were all really satisfied and happy with the way that we played, you know. And, you know, obviously there's always going to be the media in El Salvador that, you know, can be hard on us. But at the end of the day, we just have to make sure we keep going forward and kind of, you know, don't pay attention to them.
One of those two draws you win, you would have advanced.
Exactly. I mean, that's...
You were one goal away from it.
One goal, and that's why, you know, we went for it. And unfortunately, you know, we kind of got scored on, and that's the way soccer goes sometimes. But we just got to build on from a great performance at the Gold Cup.
All right, what's going to happen with your future? Because I hear a lot of different things. Denmark, I hear Israel, opportunities in Europe. Do you want to stay in Europe? Do you want to come back to the U.S.? Where are you at now? Because I know you're out of contract at Videoton in Hungary, right? You guys parted ways?
I was there for 2.5 years with Videoton. It was amazing. I had a great time. You know, we won the championship last year, and you know, it was two and a half great years. But I think it was time for me to, you know, something new. I think I was looking for a change. And yeah, there's been some offers from, you know, from different teams and different leagues in Europe. But, you know, I kept up with MLS. You know, obviously I played in MLS for nine seasons before I went to Europe. So,
you went into the league as a high school player. Arturo was in there at 17 or 18 years of age.
Yeah. You
started with San Jose, went to Dallas. Most of my listeners are going to know this already, but we just would refresh people.
Yeah, and then, you know, went back to San Jose and ended up my last year at Rousseau Lake. But, yeah, I mean, now I was, you know, I'm thinking of maybe hopefully getting on with a team in MLS. And hopefully that happens sooner.
Arturo Alvarez, he's open for offers. He wants to come back to Major League Soccer, and I know you want to get back to the States too. You know, of all the countries you played in, you played in Portugal as well. Where did you like it the most, and or maybe you love both places? I don't know, but Portugal sounds like an amazing place to be playing football as well.
It was, to be quite honest. I think that was the first place that I went to right after MLS. And I went to a small team in the first division, Pasos de Ferreira. And, you know, when I got there, you know, it was crazy because the amount of the difference between the top four teams in the Portuguese league is just crazy. You know,
Benfica, Sporting Lisbon's,
Porto, Braga, and so these teams have so much money compared to the other teams. And you know what? I was there for a year, and right before I went on loan that year, we finished in third place. So we, you know, we were just right behind Benfica and Porto, and you know, we had a good coach. We had great group of players that, you know, a lot of players left. And so that, you know, that's what happens. But I think, out of, my, what is it? 3.5 years that I was in Europe. It was, I would have to say that I learned the most in Portugal as a player. And then obviously I had an amazing time winning a championship in Hungary. So I won't ever forget that.
Two questions about Portugal. When you went to Benfica and played at the Estádio da Luz, Stadium of Light, what was it like?
You know what? I actually did not get a chance because by the time that I had signed with...
Then a Porto, one of the bigger stadiums.
Yeah, I did play at Porto and I played at Sporting.
What was it like at Porto and Sporting?
It was fun, you know. What else can I say?
Because you went to a big environment.
Yeah, of course. It was, you know, it was a lot of fans there and just a lot of history at those places. just, you know, going and walking through, you know, to our locker room, it was just, you know, you see all the pictures, all the trophies and everything, and all the history that those clubs have, and it's, you know, it's so much. And but I think, you know, I think my favorite stadium was Sporting Lisbon's.
Yeah, because?
It was just, you know, I think being in Portugal and seeing the
atmosphere.
The atmosphere, and then the amount of players I've gone through, just, you know, through Sporting Lisbon, you know. You have Figo, you got, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, Quaresma, you know, big name players that have gone through, you know, through that club. So
the Estadio José
Alvalade. I learned a little bit of Portuguese.
Yeah, so I bet you did. Well, you had
I got lucky.
You had Carlos Sessa here in Houston.
I did, and I speak Spanish, so that helped.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. go back to Portuguese football, and you said you learned a lot there. What were the main things about the Portuguese game that really sticks out? Enlighten us.
Really, it's really tactical, really organized. But at the same time, I think this was the part that intrigued me the most, was that very organized, very tactical. But when you have the ball, they want you to just have fun with it, you know? Like, okay, or defending, really organized. But once you get the ball, just free, you know. And I think, you know, that's something that, it's, for me personally, that's something that really I learned a lot more in the tactical side. And then obviously, you know, I always like to have fun with the ball at my feet and, you know, go at players and kind of, you know, improvise. So, you know, and they encouraged that. So, you know, I felt that I was in the perfect place.
Well, the way you were trained growing up with Carlos Lessa, you were always encouraged to be creative and take risk. And I mean, like any Brazilian would probably teach the game, right?
Very correct.
Or in many cases.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think as coming in as a really young player in MLS, you know, I kind of had to, you know, I struggled a little bit in finding that balance, you know, but I learned, you know, obviously, as a 17-year-old coming into a professional league, it's a big, you know, it's a big, you have to, big adjustment. So you have to make sure that, you know, you learn it real quick. And I think I did all right.
Remember the day I was with HTNet, I was on the sidelines for the MLS Cup final, and I'm not sure where it was. Was it L.A. maybe?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
And you were 17 at the time.
Yeah, we won that.
Great game.
Beat Chicago.
Frank Gallup was the coach of San Jose. Yep. You guys beat Chicago. Exciting game. And I remember you on the bench that day, and you and I talked on the field. And, you know, I just walked away, and I was like, you know, a couple of weeks ago he was playing soccer in Bear Creek Park in Houston, and here he is on the San Jose bench. It was a great moment for you.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. You know, I think
a lot of growing up between now and then.
A lot. And, you know, it's been ups and downs, but mostly ups than anything. And, you know, I couldn't be happier with the way my career has gone and it's going, so.
Arturo, it's always a pleasure having you here. You're a good gentleman, too. I think that's the other thing people like about you. Excellent person and, you know, having such a wonderful soccer career, one that's still going. We wish you all the best. And again, we always like having you in studio. So thank you for coming.
No, thank you, Glenn. Thanks for always, you know, whenever you hear that I'm in town, I always, you know, like coming in. So thanks for having me all the time.
You know, I get you in studio at Booster Ratings. You know that. You're here because I think you're a great guy. And
thank you.
Love talking the game with you. And it's great for people in our area to hear your experiences from Portugal, from Hungary, what you did growing up here. And I can only assure, if there are any young kids listening tonight, Artur Alvarez spent a ton of time playing the game of soccer away from, you know, truly enjoying it as a kid. That's the one thing you noticed about him. He loved playing the game when he was a little guy, and he still loves it. We'll take a break here. A lot more to come. Thank you, Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up Bud Light, Bar Munich, the Daspit Law Firm, the Gorgeous Gale, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Thank you for supporting Soccer Matters, ESPN 975. Break. We'll come back. We got Carly Lloyd. We've also got Kubo Torres to come tonight.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, I hope you liked that interview with Artur Alvarez. He just left the building, but great to see a local product doing so well. Soccer fans, a moment here for Bud Light. They are the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. They're also the official beer of the Mexican national team. Now, Bud Light reminds you, get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Whether you've been there for the Gold Cup, whether you go for the Dynamo or the Dash tomorrow night, Kansas City, FC Kansas City in town, to take on the Houston Dash at BBVA Compass Stadium. We've got an interview with Carly Lloyd coming up. But that's a great night to go down there and see Megan Klingenberg, Morgan Bryan, Carly Lloyd. They're World Cup winners. They're going to be there tomorrow night. 7:30 kickoff, Houston Dash taking on FC KC. You can get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. But Bud Light reminds you to get down to that beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium. It's our jewel in this city. Whether it's NWSL, MLS, international soccer, it doesn't matter. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light, the official beer of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Now, the Houston Dynamo got this comprehensive 3-0 win over the LA Galaxy. And although everybody was talking about the debut, the second match in his MLS career from Steven Gerrard, we saw all the Liverpool jerseys. Guess who did debut for the Houston Dynamo in good fashion? One Eric Kubo Torres. Today down at training, I had an opportunity to talk to Kubo about a variety of things surrounding both his personal career and the Dynamo.
Kubo, how has the adjustment been since coming to Houston?
¿Qué tal el ajuste desde que llegaste a Houston?
Bien, la verdad que cada vez adaptándome más a la ciudad, al clima. Es una ciudad donde hay un poco de humedad. Y bueno, cada vez sintiéndome mejor, cada vez sintiéndome más adaptado al equipo, a mis compañeros y a la ciudad, que es importante, ¿no?
It's been good. It's been a good adjustment. I think every day it's a little bit better, you know, trying to get used to my teammates, trying to get used to the city, trying to get used to the weather. There's a little bit of humidity here. I think that's a bit of an understatement, but trying to make adjustments every day as we go by.
How about the training sessions and his involvement with the teammates and some of the intricacies that go on there in training?
¿Qué tal tus relaciones con tus compañeros, el ajuste a las sesiones de entrenamiento, a todo lo que se hace dentro y fuera del campo?
Bien, la verdad que es un grupo muy noble, es un grupo muy muy humano. Ahí hay una combinación de latinos con gente de acá y bueno, eso me hace también a mí sentir muy cómodo. Ahí hay gente que me ha arropado muy bien, que me ha tratado de adaptar al equipo, a la ciudad. Y bueno, me siento muy contento porque es un equipo muy unido que siempre está tratando de arropar a las necesidades que necesita cada uno de nosotros, ¿no?
Yeah, no, I think the adjustment to the group has been good. You know, this is a very good group, a very humane group, so to speak. You know, they treat each other well. They took me in and made me a part of their group setting from the very beginning, and I think that's important. I think that, you know, there's a good core of Hispanic players that also makes things easier for those of us who are new, who are coming into the fold. So I think with those things, if you take all that stuff into consideration, it's been a good, you know, week and a half to 2 weeks since I got here.
Eric Kubo-Torres is joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. How about just the debut and just kind of getting that over with and getting on the field, contributing and being part of a big win against Los Angeles?
¿Qué tal tu debut en términos de la MLS este pasado fin de semana contra Los Ángeles y simplemente el entrar y tener la oportunidad de hacer una buena contribución para el equipo?
Bueno, la verdad que estoy muy, muy agradecido. Fue como lo esperaba. Me dio mucho gusto poder debutar en casa con nuestra afición. Me sentí muy contento, ¿no? Por cómo la gente me recibió, por cómo vi las pancartas en el estadio apoyándome, por cómo vi varias playeras que tenían el nombre de Torres y el número 9 atrás. Eso para mí fue muy motivante y me ilusiona seguir trabajando y hacer las cosas bien, ¿no?
Yeah, it was a good debut. I really couldn't have asked for a better situation. I think that, you know, it was very comforting and it was very uplifting to see all the people showing signs of support, all the signs, you know, saying, hey, welcome Kubo, all that stuff. The standing ovation I got when I came onto the field, I really couldn't have asked for a better game and for a better reception from the fans.
Does he feel a big responsibility like a Gio Dos Santos or any other Mexican stars that have come before to penetrate and help grow the sport here in Houston, the off-field stuff?
¿Sientes una responsabilidad quizás un poquito más al resto de los muchachos, quizás como Giovanni Dos Santos o cualquier otro de los jugadores mexicanos que han venido a la liga y han prestado sus servicios en la liga para tratar de ayudar a que este deporte crezca entre la afición mexicana que vive acá en Estados Unidos?
Sí, estoy comprometido, ¿no? Es la idea de venir acá y venir a representar a la gente mexicana, a la gente latina, ¿no? En general, venir a hacer las cosas bien. Esa responsabilidad la cargo y la asimilo de buena manera. Bueno, simplemente con entrenando a tope todos los días y teniendo buenos partidos, voy a representar no nada más a la gente latina y a los mexicanos, ¿no? Sino a la gente de acá que confía en mí y que espera que haga las cosas bien, ¿no?
Yeah, I mean, it's a commitment for sure. It's a responsibility, and that's the reason why we came to the States, you know, to try to promote the game and to make it more of a mainstream sport, you know, as it is becoming. I think that, you know, for those of us who have come, you know, whether it's Mexican or from any other country, we all share that responsibility. We all have to come in here and try to be ambassadors of the game in this country to try to get it to the point where it could be, you know, one of the mainstream sports in this country.
What does he want to take out of the experience here with the Dynamo and MLS in the future?
¿Qué quiere sacar de la entrevista? De la experiencia, mejor dicho, de participar en la MLS y no solamente eso, sino en torno a tu futuro, ¿no?
Bueno, seguir creciendo. La MLS es una liga que todos los días está creciendo enormemente y bueno, sin duda me va a ayudar a mí a ser un mejor jugador sin dejar de lado el ser una buena persona. Quiero crecer y quiero que apoyarme junto con mis compañeros y junto a la institución del Dynamo de Houston para poder seguir yendo a la selección mexicana, ¿no? A las selecciones menores que son las de mi edad y también en un futuro a la selección mayor, ¿no? Que vienen cosas importantes y sin duda esta liga me va a ayudar para poder estar allí, ¿no?
Yeah, I just want to continue to grow. I think the future is bright. The opportunities are plentiful, especially as it relates to the upcoming years. You know, there are things that are important that are coming on, you know, that are on the docket. And I think that I could do great things. You know, if I just continue to be consistent and I continue to play well, I could not only be a part of the lower divisions of the national team, you know, in terms of Mexico, but also of the first team if given the opportunity.
Has it been difficult not being a part of any of the national teams with all the competitions this summer?
¿Ha sido difícil para ti el no formar parte de las selecciones nacionales este verano?
Sí, fue algo complicado. Llevaba un proceso muy bueno. Quizás el estar el 6 meses en Guadalajara fue un... quizás me cortó un poco el ritmo. Dejé de tener minutos y participación y eso me costó, ¿no? Para poder seguir yendo a los procesos que venía teniendo en selección, pero bueno, ahora lo importante es que estoy acá, que estoy tomando ritmo, que acá voy a seguir creciendo para seguir participando en la selección, ¿no?
Yeah, more than anything, I think it was difficult. It was difficult because of the fact that I was already involved in a process. You know, I was seeing some regular participation with the national teams, and you know, just having to go back to Guadalajara and spend 6 months over there kind of limited my participation, not only with the local team, with the team I was on loan with, but also with the national team. And it was difficult. It was difficult because of the fact that I wanted to continue with that process. But now the opportunity is here to retake that process, and hopefully we can get it done sooner rather than later.
Does he get any question from Mexican fans saying, why go to MLS? We want you to stay here in the Mexican League.
¿Nunca te cuestionaron en México en torno acerca de tu decisión de regresar a la MLS en lugar de quedarte quizás en México o ir quizás a cualquier otra liga?
Sí, hubo personas, ¿no?, que cuestionan eso. Quizás no igual a Giovanni Dos Santos le puede suceder, ¿no?, pero quizás no. Mucha gente en México no se ha dado cuenta, ¿no?, el nivel que hay en esta liga. El crecimiento tan importante que está, ¿no? Las organizaciones, los estadios, los fans que cada vez hay más en cada equipo. Y bueno, esas decisiones son las que me influyeron demasiado para venir acá, y también tomando en cuenta que esta liga me va a ayudar a crecer y para poder seguir creciendo como futbolista y lograr mis objetivos, ¿no?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questioning. Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you look at players like Gio Dos Santos and myself, you know, who are young and could still play a lot more, the natural tendency is for people to question, you know, why MLS? Why not X, Y, Z? You know, why another league? It wasn't my decision. But again, you know, when you look at other factors, like, for example, the amount of people that come to the games, you know, the fan base, when you look at the infrastructure, when you look at the vision, when you look at the plans for the future, all those things need to be taken into consideration when making that decision, and I feel that I made the right decision by coming to MLS.
Gracias, Cubo. Bienvenidos.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Gracias.
So how'd you like my Spanish there? You like that Spanish, Michael Carroll? All right, so now, speaking of... Spanish, but we're going to go to Spain now. Real Madrid goes around the world doing soccer camps. They have some here in Houston. We talked to the director here locally of the Real Madrid soccer camps that will be taking place. One is going on in Sugar Land right now, another in Tomball. It's Juan Padilla. Juan, thank you very much for coming on the show.
No, thank you, Glenn. Very happy to hear you. Very happy to be in your show again. Let me tell you that we're very honored to be running these camps with Real Madrid Foundation. It's a great experience. The campus that Real Madrid transmits around the world, they have done this in Russia, Japan, China, Mexico. And it's a great opportunity now in the United States, especially here in Texas, that we have the opportunity to bring these guys. Great coaches. I have been working directly with Rafael Navarrete and Carlos Grande. Last week we were in San Antonio. Huge success. The parents and the players were so, so happy, and the feedback that we received was amazing. Now we are running the camp here in Sugarland in Eldridge Park. You can still register your son or your daughter, 6.5 years to 17 years old. You can pay us, the 3 days that are left, but you can still be joining a great group of coaches. And next week, we have the opportunity to close this tour in the Woodlands Preparatory School over there in the Woodlands.
Couple of places where you can register online. This is a great opportunity for young soccer players. 7 to 17 years old, you go to www.campusexperiencermf.com/USA/Houston. You can learn a lot more over there, but you heard Juan mention Rafael Navarrete and Carlos Grande. These are the guys who run the soccer schools in Madrid.
Yes, actually, they are working. Rafael is the coordinator of all the school academies over there in Real Madrid. Great experience, great in the field. You know that I am a soccer guy as you, and you can notice when some coaches have the experience and the knowledge to transmit something new, something different. For these young kids that in the summer, they will be spending the time probably in the computer, in their homes, in the TV, video games. But no, they can have the opportunity to be in the field, working out, doing some exercise, which is great.
And Real Madrid's getting ready for their season. It's kind of interesting to see them preparing for their season in La Liga and the Champions League, and then their camps going on all over the world. And, of course, we're fortunate to have them here in Houston.
Exactly. So, as you mentioned, it's last call for registration here in the Houston camp in Eldridge Park. You can call me at 832-589-6024 or go to campusexperiencermf.com /USA/Houston.
Again, your phone number, Juan, if people want to call you directly.
Yes, 832-589-6024.
7 to 17 years of age, male and female. It's the Real Madrid soccer camps. www.campusexperiencermf.com/USA/Houston. Juan, as always, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Glenn. Hope you can see you very soon and still talking about soccer, right?
That was Juan Padilla, and we thank him for that. Again, a quick word for the Daspit Law Firm, the Houston personal injury attorneys, handling injury cases from plant and refinery accidents to 18-wheeler accidents, boat, car, DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915. That was Juan Padilla with the Real Madrid soccer camps. You go to Campus Experience RMF.com, and you can sign up. The link is over on Facebook Soccer Matters to sign up for the camps. They have one ongoing right now. You can go in. They'll probably prorate it. And then you have another one coming up in the Tomball Woodlands area. Take a break. We'll come back. We've got the one and only Carly Lloyd going to join us next on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We'll take a 7-Up break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We remind you, the Real Madrid soccer camp's going on in Houston. Go over to Soccer Matters, our Facebook page. Tons of stuff over there right now. A lot of people weighing in on Miguel Herrera. But I've also posted the link to the camps, and it's in Houston. Great opportunity to get out there and work on your game. So it is up, and it'll tell you where the locations are and where you can sign up. Brought you back with some Van Halen there. All right, we saw what was an amazing performance from Carly Lloyd in the U.S. Women's in the women's national team, winning the World Cup in Canada. Obviously, after the Colombia game, she got put into an extended role. We saw her hit for a hat trick in the final. Here is Carly Lloyd, fresh today off the plane, getting down here to Houston to get prepared for the Houston Dash game tomorrow night. Carly, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we can track you down anywhere. We got you right off the plane here.
Yeah. From one thing to the next. It's all good.
Yeah, talk about the whirlwind, because I can only imagine this is unbelievable to manage right now.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, I've been kind of full go since we wrapped up the World Cup final, but it's been good. I've been able to experience different things, meet different people, you know, kind of promote the league and just continue to ride the wave, because, you know, just kind of something we need to do in order to keep building women's soccer.
You yourself, what are some of the most interesting things you've done since winning that World Cup?
Well, I've done, you know, from the ticker tape parade, LA Live, Taylor Swift concert, to, you know, doing some Xbox games with Halo and Assassin's Creed, having some fun with the Workaholics crew and that show that they do. So it's just been a wide variety of things. And today I just wrapped up something with Dick's Sporting Goods, a Sports Matter initiative, and something that they've started, and you know, just some really good powering things that, you know, I can be a part of and help out in any way.
When everybody comes after you, sponsors and things, do you talk to them about trying to weave in the NWSL? I know they can at all you know, at all junctures, but is that something they get? Do they get that there's two things going on here? There's Carly Lloyd, the World Cup winner, who's known around the world now. And then there's Carly Lloyd in the NWSL.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of them. I mean, I actually was just on Good Day New York today, and they brought up the fact that, you know, I played for the Houston Dash, and that was pretty cool. I mean, because not too many people are aware that we're really still in season and we have a lot going on right now. And it's just important to get the word out for people to understand. I mean, I think people are really starting to understand kind of the pay gap as well. I know it was a big thing with FIFA, with the men got Germany men when they won the World Cup, and then, you know, what we got from FIFA. So it's really good. I mean, we're sparking interest, which is what we want.
She's Carly Lloyd. 7:30 p.m. tomorrow night, the Dash will take on FC Kansas City, a huge game. You must have seen the news today that the Brazilian midfielder Andressa has signed with your team. I mean, it's incredible, the talent that's been brought in here now. So now you got another World Cup veteran that will enter into this team.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I know a little bit about her, but it's great to be able to play with people that, you know, are good with the ball at their feet. And I know that the NWSL is a little bit of a, you know, a different kind of animal as far as it being a very physical league. And, you know, it does take some getting used to, but I'm really looking forward to meeting her and, you know, hopefully maybe seeing her on the pitch tomorrow night. But it's good, you know, it's a push that we need to keep going with seven games left.
How difficult is it to transition back into NWSL play? I mean, obviously, they're different environments. It's a different team. You know, is it with all this fame and exposure that you're getting, is it a little bit tougher to get your game face on?
No, I mean, when I step out on the field, I'm always out there competing and wanting to win. And, you know, I would say it's different in the fact that, you know, I haven't been doing my normal training routine, and I have taken some time off to fly all over the place for media and appearances. But at the same time, I'm still mentally powering through and doing what I need to do on the field in order to help the team win. And this is a time where there's not a whole lot of pressure. It's kind of a time where I can step out on the field and work on things and express myself and try different things. So it's a shift in regards to, yes, we played at the highest level just recently, 3 weeks ago at the World Cup with packed stadiums and everything on the line. But at the same time, you know, that's not why you play. You play because you love it. And every time I step on the field, whether I'm with the national team or whether I'm with Houston Dash, I still have that love for the game, and I still want to compete and improve on a daily basis.
Look, your story is a great one because it is such a story of commitment, consistency, hard work, all these things that maybe everybody doesn't recognize when they just see you at the pinnacle. But isn't it about what you do when the cameras aren't on you and when no one's watching?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the famous line is, you know, what I've done when no one is watching. And I've pushed my body to max limits that, you know, I didn't think were even possible. I've trained and I've taken care of my body on and off the field, you know, tried to do all the right things in order to get me to this point. But that's what it's all about, is just clocking in all those hours, training, honing in on what you need to do. There's been, you know, lots of people that have doubted me throughout my career. There's been lots of people that have wanted to see me go backwards, and I've given them not an ounce to ever think that, and that's what it's all about.
The word no, you've obviously been able to say that, because to make this type of a sacrifice, you have to say no to a lot of other things socially. In fact, you even told me, and we were thankful, you gave us an interview before the World Cup final, which was very gracious of you. But you also told us that, you know, you didn't have any of your family members there. They were kind of out of sight, out of mind, so that you could kind of get zoned in.
Yeah, it's kind of my thing. And I've, you know, told my fiance, Brian, after I got home, like, you know, look, it would have been great for you to be a part of it. Would have been great for you to be there. But from now on, you can't ever come. And then that's how it is with my family as well. I mean, I've won and done well at every event that I haven't had somebody there. So it obviously works, and it isn't a distraction. It's something that I don't have to worry about as far as figure out tickets and figure out meeting up with them after the games. I can literally just roll off the bus, go eat my meal, get in my room, shower up, stretch, and start focusing on the next game. So it's great, and I've had people say, you know, don't you miss them? But you know, I see them my whole life. Yes, I'm traveling here and there, but it's basically every 4 years you get to this point of playing in a World Cup, and it's not a lot to sacrifice a month without seeing your significant other, loved ones. So for me, it's, you know, I'm in the office and I have to do what I have to do.
That was Carly Lloyd. We wrap it up here tonight. We remind you, tomorrow night we head over to our sister station, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Dynamo All Access will be tomorrow night, but also the Houston Dash will be in action at 7:30 tomorrow night. You can see Carly Lloyd, Megan Klingenberg, and Morgan Bryan down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Get over to HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. Get over to Facebook, Soccer Matters. There's a lot going on over there. I just posted all the information about the Real Madrid soccer camps that are in two locations. It's Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, S-O-C. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Great callers here tonight, weighing in with a lot of different topics. Thank you very much for everybody who listened in tonight. Thank you. And don't forget to support our sponsors, Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Daspit Law Firm, Bar Munich and the gorgeous Gale for watching soccer matches and great food and drink. And then, of course, our newest sponsors, don't forget Amigo Energy. Time for me now to get a Penafiel, and I'm out.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.